Hello, Park Street. Welcome back. Today is day 31 of Lent, and I'm back doing another episode with Reed Courtney and Alec Dunlap and Gabby Ader, who are all AU students and have been active in Young Life here in Ashland County. We did an episode about a week ago. If you want to know more about them, you can listen to the beginning of that one. Today's passage is John chapter 15. Starting with verse 26 and going through chapter 16 through verse 15. I believe Reed is going to read this, so.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, man.
But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you.
Cool. Crystal clear, right?
Yeah. We love the Trinity.
So my I have a footnote on where it says the Advocate. It says or comforter or encourager or counselor.
Yeah, counselor.
The Greek reads Paraclete. Any of you guys know anything about Greek? I don't know anything about Greek. I've heard the word paraclete before, but I don't know much about the Greek context of that. You know, Jesus seems to be telling them that, you know, there's going to be hard times ahead, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Can you guys relate to this, I guess, in following Christ, the idea that, you know, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit a comforter, an encourager, and a counselor. Have you guys seen that to be true in your life, I guess? I feel like this Holy Spirit kind of can be the forgotten member of the Trinity a lot of times. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think it's absolutely true that he is the forgotten member of the Trinity. Like, I think a lot of people recognize that today. And the thing that's so surprising to me is that here Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit as being the comforter, as being the one that's who's going to be with them in these trials. And he says it's going to be that when I depart, I leave you one who is, like, he's going to do works greater than me. And unless I go away, then the Advocate will not come to you. So it's better that Jesus go away, that the Spirit gets to be with them. And I guess we just never think in those terms. Like, we think that it would be better if Christ was, like, sitting right next to us, talking to us.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's just is the sin of the world. Like, Paul talks that it puts blinders in front of our eyes, that we're so focused on the material that, like, that Jesus, like, the flesh and bone, like, having him here would be so much better. But, like, the Spirit is not confined to one locality, like Christ in the flesh was, right? That, like, Jesus incarnate could only be, you know, in Capernaum or, like, in Nazareth or in Galilee, like, whereas, like, the Spirit can be in all those places at once.
Yeah. Those are good points. I think, Alec, you're right. If I had to, we always kind of think about what it would be like to actually see Christ face to face and interact with him. But, like, according to him, like, we can do that already.
Like, we have the greater thing.
Right, like, the Spirit is our avenue and method of communicating with Christ and having his, you know, and knowing him. There's a lot of interesting jobs, I guess, it says that it will do. I do find this passage to be kind of confusing in a lot of ways. I looked, the Message translation says, there's verses like, I think it's 8 through 10. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin. That righteousness comes from above, where I'm with the Father, out of their sight and control. And judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted. Which I like the way that he phrased that. That says their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin. Which is, I think, verse 8, where the New Living Translation says... the verse 9 says, the world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. You know, and that the idea of the origination of all sin is just a lack of faith in God and a lack of faith in Christ and, you know, a desire to possess and control your own, you know, to have that control in your own life as opposed to, you know, instead having faith in God. It's just kind of an interesting way to view sin.
And that's what Jesus is talking to, like, about the Pharisees here. These people, you're not going to be welcome in the synagogue. You're going to be put out of the synagogue. They're going to think that they're giving me service. They're going to think that they're giving God service when they kill you. But really, they have no, like, conception of what the truth is. Like, and that was what the Pharisees' sin is that they couldn't recognize who God was, even though they thought that their own righteousness was what made them know God. But it was, they never knew God because they never knew Christ.
Yeah, that's a good point, Alec. You're right, because he is talking about the synagogue, he's talking about the temple, he's talking about, if you think about the main opponents of Jesus throughout the whole book of John, it's been the Pharisees. And, you know, after, you know, the Jewish leaders are the ones who continue to persecute the church, right? After Jesus is resurrected and no longer on earth, you know, they continue doing the same thing they were doing when Jesus was there. The interesting, verse 11 I find interesting too, it says, judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Or the Message, I think, was like, the ruler of this world has been cast out. It's interesting that Jesus views judgment as like a judgment on Satan and the devil, as opposed, like, we tend to view judgment in terms of like people being judged, right? Before, like, people come to God, they're judged according to what they have done. There's verses in the Bible about that, but it's like, There are a couple of different mentions in the book of John about, you know, Jesus saying it's time for the ruler of this world to be cast out. You know, like, it's time for me to defeat the powers of evil and darkness in the world and get rid of them, which is kind of a crazy thing to think about because, yeah, I don't think about the devil, you know, a lot. It's not much like the spirit, but I guess the spiritual dimension, right, of the world, both the Holy Spirit and, you know, evil spirits, right? We tend to just not pay much attention to that, to that area, those passages of the Bible. And, you know, Jesus is talking about both, like, right, the Holy Spirit, as well as, you know, that he's casting out the evil, you know, dark spirits as well.
And this is, like, the most practical time in his ministry. If you think about it, like, this is right before he's going to die, and this is, like, the words that he leaves with his disciples, is that, and he gives them spiritual warfare, and he gives them the doctrine of the Trinity. Like, these are the most practical things that he's teaching them right before he dies.
Yeah, I think it's super cool, like, how he, like, points out sin, especially, like, when you think about verse 13, when it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Like, me and my sinfulness, like, there's no way that, like, I could, like, ever come to truth in that, but because of Christ, like, I can. And like because of the Holy Spirit, like we're able to like speak truth. And like as far as like your question earlier about like where we've seen that happen, like sometimes like giving club talks like we do with Young Life, or like telling a kid the gospel, like sometimes like they'll ask questions, and like knowing the answers to those, it's like there's no way I could come up with that on my own. Like that's mm-hmm. totally the Holy Spirit like intervening for me and like advocating and doing all that stuff. Like there's no way I could do that on my own by myself and like all my sinfulness. Like that's Christ intervening in all that.
That's the experience of all people in ministry, and I'm going to venture to say all people who are authentically following Christ and taking the Great Commission seriously, right? That there is no way that this life which Christ charges us to live is something on our own merits we can stand by. And that's so important to think about in the season of Lent, that, right, that we are insufficient on our own. It is through Christ that we are made holy and righteous, by his blood that we're washed, and that it's through his provision that we are able to proclaim the goodness of his name and go to the ends of the world and do works of good.
There is, verses 12 and 13, there's so much more I want to tell you, you know, but you can't bear it. Like, we have such a limited capacity to understand.
When
it comes to, like, how to respond to a question from a kid or from, like, lots of situations just require a lot of wisdom and how to navigate them, right? And it's like, I can't possibly have all the answers for that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's impossible, you know? And it's like, God wants to give us more, you know, I guess, wisdom, and we don't have the ability to bear it, you know, and that's part of the Spirit, you know. It says he'll guide us, right? Like, that it's the idea of like following somebody. If you were like, I mean, what situations would a guide be necessary, right? Like, if you're on some type of journey or course or navigating somewhere that you haven't been and that might be somewhat dangerous or treacherous or unusual, or, you know, you might get lost, you know, it's like, that's when a guide really is useful, you know. And I feel like you guys were saying, like, following God is, we have to be guided because we don't know how to navigate it, and we don't know what's coming next. And like Jesus is telling his disciples, you know, these religious people are gonna think when they kill you they're doing good. You know, it's like, there's so much about following Christ that's awesome and that's cool and exciting, and there's some stuff that's confusing and hurt, I guess, like painful, I guess, and just it's difficult to navigate, you know, and so having the Spirit to help us with those situations is something that we, you know, need. We're super, super needy of.
Yeah, I think with verse 12 too, like, as much as it seems like Jesus is protecting us from, like, knowing things or, like, like overwhelming us with, you know, things that we're never going to understand, it's also, like, a super beautiful part of following the Lord, of, like, not knowing all the details, but, like, trusting in what I know Christ has done for me, and just, like, that factor of, like, trusting the Lord, which, like, every person ever struggles with, but like there's just like a lot of time for growth and like intimate time with the Lord when like you have to rely on that trust. So
yeah,
it's really cool.
Yeah, it's interesting to me too that Jesus is telling his disciples that, like, I want to tell you things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 12, it says, you know, much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. And then in verse 15 it says, you know, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. You know, like, sometimes I feel like when I view God as like, just tell me what's going on. Tell me more stuff. Tell me more stuff, you know? And it's like, God's like, no, I want to tell you everything that I can tell you. You know, like, there's an open, like, he wants to share more and more of himself with us, which I don't know that I always view God like that. You know, I kind of view God like, why are you silent? Or why are you not revealing yourself? Or why do I not know what's going on in this situation? And these words are encouraging to hear in times like that. Well, guys, thank you for your willingness to read and discuss this, and I appreciate you guys your sharing and your insights. And you know, as we've been saying, you know, we're getting really close to Holy Week, and we're getting closer to the end of, you know, the recording of Jesus' earthly life. And so thank you for observing that and being a part of this project, and you know, helping me personally just to observe it and to think about it and to ponder it. And I appreciate it. So thanks for joining me, and thanks for listening, everybody, and we will be back tomorrow. Have a good one.